Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Turntable on the National and International Roundtable. I am your host, Mickey Hall. The Turntable is the new show on the National and International Roundtable, which is presented by the Multi-Ethnic Sports Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame was founded by Arif Khatib in 2000 to give the world an opportunity to better understand the impact African Americans made in professional sports and society. We presented induction ceremonies in New York, Seattle, Puerto Rico, Los Angeles, Ethiopia, Nairobi, Kenya, Virgin Islands, Houston, Atlantic City, Philadelphia, Oakland Bay Area, Las Vegas, Palm Springs, and Halifax, Nova Scotia. Please check out our website at www.afrosportshall.com. to find out all the latest events that are coming up. So now I want to see if my partner in crime is around today. Hey, Jesse Brooks, you with us today?
Hey, Mickey, of course I'm here, and I will be here with you as long as you allow me. Glad to be here. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I had a busy week. Traveling, went to Washington. I'm glad to be home, though, to do some work here at home.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you went to Washington. Was it a protest?
I went to Washington because the World Bank has their annual meeting. And one of the things that I work with a company called AIDS Health Foundation, and it's around HIV. But it's also around the global funding that goes into HIV. And because of that, the funding is marked depending on what is set as a middle, as income level. And so we were protesting that the World Bank set countries that people make $2.76 a day as a middle income country, and expect them to pay that as far as the global funding, and then allow countries that make, you know, way over that to pay less. So we just wanted equity. And so we were there raising our voices. I joined advocates from all over the country. People came from Cleveland, came from Atlanta, as far as China. We had an advocate as far as China who actually spoke on the panel about the income level setting.
Wow.
And so that was work. And then I took a little time the next day to visit the African American Cultural Museum, which was amazing.
Oh, wow. Yes, that is. So that's the first time that you visited there, right?
Exactly. Well, not the first time I visited Washington, of course, but the first time that I got a chance to go to the museum since the grand opening last year. The times that I went before, they were in construction. So I was waiting. And it's so huge, Mickey, that, you know, it can't be my last time. You need at least four times to go to be able to touch each exhibit. The good thing about it, I love art and I love history, and just the way they displayed it is so beautiful, and it filled me with pride. They have a Southern cafe with all the soul food. They had oxtails, fried chicken, smothered chicken. I just couldn't even pick what to eat. It was just beautiful.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. I know. Well, you know, we've been going nonstop. You know, we had that big week last week when we were on location at Scott's with the McLean
right.
special induction ceremony.
And that was amazing. Again, I was proud for Oakland. And I was really touched by the inductees, thinking that no one would acknowledge them, and for all this time to go and to be able to acknowledge the inductees that were inducted that night. It was really touching.
It was so much fun, especially being on location. So
yeah, totally.
Hopefully we will have more opportunities to do that, you know. So, well, I'm like besides myself today because, you know, last night was NBA season.
Right.
And
were you there?
Yeah, I'm here. And
were you at the game?
Oh, no, I wasn't. I was supposed to, but I ended up not going. But
okay.
I'm telling you, just if there were any two better opening games for opening night, I don't know how last night could have topped it. But, of course,
wow.
You know, everyone in the sports world, our hearts are heavy today because last night's terrible accident on the court when Boston's big man, Gordon Hayward, suffered a horrible fall and really did some damage to his ankle. And you could see it snapped. So our prayers go out to Gordon Hayward's family. And of course, Boston, you know, and even though I don't like Cleveland, I must say showed a lot of class, you know, when it happened, you could see the look of concern and fright in their eyes and on their faces. But once they were able to get Hayward up on the stretcher, you know, they pretty much came over and wished him well. And, you know, that was as he was being carted off. And then, of course, Boston fell short. But, you know, after the game, James went over to Kyrie Irving, you know, and they did their little usual after-game handshake, you know.
Uh-huh,
and then all of the former Cleveland teammates came over and did their secret handshake. Now, I'm going to just throw this out. Because I wonder if the tables had turned and Boston pulled out that win, if they would have been so congenial at the end.
Well, it's all about sportsmanship, you know. And like you said, I really like the example of sportsmanship through it all.
Yeah.
And that's really what it was all about. And really classy and respectful.
You know, and then, of course, there were the Warriors. Home opener against Houston. It was awesome watching those guys get their rings.
Right.
Banner come down. Not the outlook we wanted. But, you know, if KD had just been 1 millisecond quicker, that would have been a tie game. But, you know, this season is going to just be, it's going to be a great run.
Yeah, well, Oakland can do it again. So it's going to be a lot of passion, a lot of, motivation at the games, I'm sure, from the fans. I'm excited.
Yes, definitely. So, with that being said, I think we can get the show on the road. I'm just really excited about our guest today, and I think our listeners are going to be really, really thrilled. So if we're ready, I say we bring them on and let me read some bios. All right.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
All right. Our first guest in no particular order, I'm going to introduce them, is Regina Alston. And Regina Alston just is a former educator and entrepreneur who is the president and CEO of ARA Virtual Solutions. It is a minority-owned firm that provides 24/7 customer support to businesses nationwide, you know, not only to include customer service, but inbound and outbound calls. Regina, since she started her call center, she's been able to provide employment to individuals throughout the U.S. So it's really going to be interesting to hear how she is helping the economy with her business. And our second guest to join us is coming all the way from South Africa. And we are so delighted to bring on Mandisa Kalani, who is a Black radical feminist, gender activist turned social media entrepreneur. She is based in Johannesburg, South Africa, but I think right now she is stationed somewhere else and has a vision of putting Africa on the map by providing viable technology solutions to African problems. And Mandisa is co-founder of Dot Afro. So with that, I want to welcome our guests to the turntable on the international and in the national and international roundtable. Welcome, my sisters.
Well, hey, hello.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you. Hello.
Thank you so much
for you two to come on, and especially Mandisa, because we know it's a little bit after 1 o'clock in the morning now.
It is. It's actually 1:15 in South Africa.
Wow.
So you know what? I'm gonna flip the tables today, because Jesse, my co-host, has been to South Africa. So I want him to open up the show with the first question.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mandisa and Regina, welcome to the show, both of you. From the bios I read, you're both powerful women. And you're right, Mickey. I got a chance to go to the International AIDS Conference last year, which was held in Durban. And Mandisa, I got a chance to see your beautiful country and still there. And even as I left, I felt homesickness. So I knew I was home when I hit the soil. But what struck me mostly about your bio, of course, because you're an advocate and using your gifts and your talents to do your advocatism, you know. But what struck me was a quote from you that says, "It's not a privilege." So I want to open up, what did you mean by that? And what problems are you addressing through your work?
Okay, thank you so much for giving me a platform. Free speech without a privilege is actually the tagline for Dot Afro, my site. And basically what we have created is an alternative to Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, but specifically for Black people around the world.
Wow.
When I say free speech is not a privilege, I'm saying we as Black people have been made to feel that speaking about our issues is a privilege. When we talk about land rights in Africa, that's being said to be a taboo issue. When we talk about reparations, be it in the U.S., be it in Europe, be it in any other country where we've been enslaved, it's been said that that's a non-issue. So we've been taught to sort of believe that speaking freely about our issues as Black people is a privilege. And basically the tagline for our site is, free speech is not a privilege. Mm-hmm. It's not a privilege. We don't need to be told by other people that we need to articulate our issues in a specific way. So that's why I created a platform where Blackness can say, you know what, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. I can talk about the issues that speak to me and not have to feel that I'm under pressure.
Wow. That's what I'm talking about.
Wow. Regina, let me ask how you went from a school teacher to a entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know how it happened. It just happened. like I said, I've always been in education. I like to call them little people. I love teaching the little people. And I still do. We have our own little people. But I wasn't tired of the teaching itself. I just knew that I needed to not be in a classroom setting. I felt like going to work for me meant that I can be the owner of the daycare center, or I can be an owner of any center. So I guess got tired of being in the classroom. So I just ventured off and found another opportunity that I could be home. I wanted to be home to be able to take care of our child who was then 2 years old. And I needed to just, you know, make sure my own child was educated. I was teaching someone else's children during the day. And when I got home, I was too tired to teach my own child. So whatever you're putting into someone else, but you're not into your own. So I spoke with my husband, who was my biggest supporter, who told me that if I could find something that was legitimate, that I could stay home. So I was presented with the opportunity that I could partner and gain contracts with corporate clients. And I have been taking calls myself, as well as employing other individuals throughout the U.S. to do the same. And that's how I landed into the virtual atmosphere.
Wow. Could you describe to us what virtual call center is? And
it's just like a call center, except all of our agents work remotely. So they all have their own home office space. So as long as you have a laptop, desktop, you have a home phone and internet, then you can receive inbound calls. You can place outbound calls. So it works just as if a call center, you're just not getting into a physical brick and mortar. So all of our agents, like I said, they're throughout the U.S., and they take calls for different organizations, nonprofit organizations. So we're just basically what an office admin could do for you or your business. We do, but we just do it from home. So it's flexible. It gives everybody from college students to retirees to disabled veterans, just anyone who needs to supplement their income or just need a part-time job. And so we give that to individuals.
I love it. Wow.
Yes.
Regina, what are some of your clients who might need virtual assistance?
Yes, we have a lot of our clients are corporate clients, which I can't disclose the name of those particular clients, but we do offer our services to Fortune 500 companies. We cater to small businesses. We also cater to online, you know, everybody's with a boutique now. They have everything is online now. So anybody who needs an assistant, someone who take their calls, you may need someone to monitor your emails, data entry, booking reservations, appointment scheduling. I've been networking a lot with the chamber here and just different places. So you could just think of anybody who goes out to a meeting, or you go on vacation, or you just need to be somewhere to lunch. Okay, so who's covering your calls while you're out? So we are that for our clients. We take their calls for them as they need us. And we're available 24/7. So anyone who needs an office assistant, an admin, a secretary, whatever you want to call it, then we're that for our clients.
Now, Mandisa, you were doing recruiting. How did you go to starting .afro with your partner?
Okay, so in terms of recruitment, recruitment is my career. I'm a headhunter. So if you ever needed staff, I was that person. So especially in South Africa and in Africa, where we had a bit of a skills shortage, a lot of our scarce skills left our countries to go to Europe, to go to America, to go to Australia. So we had our specific industry had a bit of a rough time being able to source scarce skills. So recruitment was a good career. It was working really well, but I've always been a gender activist from the time that I was really young, from my teens. And that was something that resonated with me and stayed with me throughout. And so in my gender activism, I'm sure you're familiar with Men Are Trash. It started in the U.S. Yes. And so it filtered down to Africa and specifically to BRFs in South Africa. And what happened was, strangely enough, Facebook decided that they're going to ban anyone who says men are trash. So when the hashtag filtered down to us and we used it for, because South Africa is the highest level of femicide in the world. I don't know if you're aware of that. So we feminists in our space have a really rough time. Intimate partner violence is a huge thing for us. So we were running campaigns about intimate partner violence using the Men Are Trash campaign. And we were being banned left, right, and center. I literally have 6 Facebook accounts because the other ones were either closed completely by Facebook or blocked. And so I was like, this is not working. And I have friends who are in activist Black consciousness spaces where they were talking about land rights in Africa, where they were talking about talking about cultural appropriation, etc. And whenever those issues were raised, those people would get banned. And I was like, but it's starting to seem like Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn are very white spaces. And I'm like, and then I came back to myself and I said, the reason why they're white spaces is because they're white owned. Why do we as Black people have our own spaces whereby we can discuss and articulate our own issues freely? And I said, okay, I'm a Black woman, I'm in Africa, and I've got friends in the technology space. Let's make this happen. So I spoke to a friend of mine who's a developer, and he was like, I can actually make this platform happen. And so Dumelo, who's my business partner, and I came up with .afro, and it just happened out of literally being angry about being blocked on Facebook. So it happened, and now we are the site, and we call it beta test phase, and it's going extremely well. In terms of, there's 3.5 million websites in South Africa, and in beta test phase, without even being launched as a full site, we're already on 44,000 as a ranking. So people understand that there's a need for this. They see what we're trying to do. They see our vision, and it's going incredibly well.
Is it right now just a South African social media, or is it open internationally?
It's open internationally, so you currently can be able to join .afro. I have quite a couple of American activists that are on .afro as we speak.
Well, I really want to get on, so I'm anxious.
I'll send you the link, and I'll also announce it on the show.
Oh, definitely.
Okay, please do.
Your next question? Jesse, got a question?
Well, is that the only part of your business, Mandisa, or is there other to your work?
Okay. So in terms of .afro specifically, obviously there's so much that goes into it. firstly, as I said before, we are the first social media, and I don't understand why this hasn't been launched yet, but we're the first social media actually been able to launch voice updates. So you don't have to write to put up a face, to put up an update on .afro. You can do it via voice. And also comments can also be done via voice. So you have the option of text or voice. And then we've got a function, but currently it is specific to African countries. I do apologize on that one, because there's legalities around European and American countries. But we have a help me function, in the sense that if a lady in Uganda is having a problem and she needs to call the police, she can basically put a panic button on her .afro account, and it'll bring the police to her, it'll bring an ambulance to her, it'll bring a social worker to her location.
That's amazing.
It was necessary for me as a feminist that we have this function where women who are in need and dire straits can actually be able to get help through our app. So that's one of the features. And I believe we're the only genderless website or social media sites out there currently. That is very important to me as a member of the LGBTIQ community. You know, there's so much... there's so many issues when it comes to gender. There's misgendering when it comes to the trans community. There's using gender as a weapon when it comes to feminism. There's just so many issues to discuss with regards to gender. So I said, let's take gender out of the equation completely. There are no men. There are no women. We are all just human on .afro. And literally, when you sign up, it gives you the option to have a username, obviously a password, put in your email address, and then it just says, are you a human or are you a robot? You select the option of human, and we're done.
Wow.
So that's one of the things that I think makes us really unique.
Wow. It does make you unique because there's so much gender bias in technology, in the tech world today, and so much discrimination. And I think you're really answering those issues and maybe setting an example on the way it should be done. So thank you.
Regina,
I forgot one very last important part. As a person who has banned so many times on so many social medias, with regards to the way that we, how can I put, regulate our community standards, we don't use algorithms to decide if a person gets banned off of .afro. The community, through a system that we call Gene, actually decides. So people in your close-knit community get to vote whether or not you need to be taken out of the platform or not, whether you violated what they believe are the standards for .afro, etc. So that's basically how we've worked it out. So that's how we've worked it out, and it's working really, really well, whereby the community is like, this person has decided that they're going to put nudity, for example, on a page that they shouldn't have. So we as a community are going to ban them. Versus an algorithm that doesn't know anything about the person that has, that picks up code words being the one to actually ban that person. So that's another thing that sets us apart.
That's beautiful.
That's awesome. Regina, I would like you to walk our listeners through how you receive your minority supplier certification in Georgia, because that's one, that's a hard process.
It is. It is long. I actually started the process in February of this year. I have been, I've probably been for almost 4 years. I've been wanting to, you know, gain my own contracts outside of, you know, corporate, and I just never knew I could, you know, you can Google so much. So I, you know, Googled and I asked people and just never get anywhere. So I kind of just left it alone. think, you know, an entrepreneur, small business owner, you know, you have to keep your documents in place. So a lot of the things that they ask for, including, you know, previous tax returns and, you know, your birth certificate, they ask for everything because they have to, you know, really have to verify that you are who you say you are. And you have to be 51% minority owner of your business. You have to own and operate 51% of your business in order to obtain your certification. So I went through our local council, which is the Georgia Minority Supplier Development Council. I start the process, I submit my information, and they go through a review. They, you know, review your application, make sure you have all your documents in place, and then they move your application to a committee. An actual board looks over everything that you submit. They come out if you have an actual facility. They come out and do a site visit because, again, they have to make sure that you are operating your business. And they, you know, an interview, you know, they want to ask you, you know, about your business. Why did you start your business? What are you hoping to gain from obtaining your certification? So I just, you know, after that, I heard from them maybe a month later. So it takes about 90 days or so for you to actually complete the entire process if you have all of your documents that are, you know, what they require. And that's it. You attend orientation. You receive your certification, and then you're on to registering as a vendor. You can register as a vendor for the county. You can also register for the federal government. So now that we've been in business for 5 years now, we can offer the same services.
I think our connection
Regina,
is bad.
Regina, we're having a bad connection with you. I'm going to send another link for you with a phone number to call. Because you're calling
from
are you in Georgia right now?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to send you, here, you have a pen handy?
Yes.
Here, jot down this number and call back.
Yeah, please do, because we want to hear everything you're saying.
The number is 602 area code 753-1829.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Regina.
So, Mandita, I wanted to go back to your journey starting a social media company. I know that initially it took your complications with Facebook and other social medias to get you to motivated to do this. How about what challenges have you come across from your government? Are there, have there been any? Yes?
Okay, in terms of my government, I'll be honest, South Africa has a really chilled out system versus the rest of the world. So I haven't had any issues on my side. No one has given me an issue about the fact that I don't have a nudity filter. No one has given me an issue about the fact that I don't use algorithms in order to ban people. However, I think the fact that our system in terms of back-end support is really, really secure. There've been quite a few attempts to hack us that have failed dismally because I wanted to make sure I don't want terrorists to think, for example, that my site is a haven. I don't want hackers to think that they can go and be able to utilize the information of my users. So in terms of back-end support, really, really, really secure. And so from that end, I think we're sorted. But government-wise, as I said, South African government is one of the most chilled-out governments when it comes to social media sites. There's very little regulation, and they want us to basically be able to explore the space really, really well. So I haven't had any issues in that respect.
That's great. And also, that's great.
Just a slight difference between our situation and yours. I understand that you guys, as African Americans, are a minority in your country. With us, we're a majority in our country, but our economic power, as in all our money, is held in a white hands, but we are still the majority in the country. So our government is black, and so they're still trying to promote black interest, etc. So it's not the same type of dynamic where it would be heavily regulated because of the fact that it's a minority. We are a majority in our country.
I know, and that's what actually stood out for me when I visited your country. To be a part of a majority community, it was so empowering and at times overwhelming. And again, it's amazing, the dynamics. But I also noticed the majority of financial control, like you said, in the hands, which is the same for both of our countries. In the hands of the white man. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well,
sorry.
Is Regina back?
Well, I think she is, but we're coming up on our half hour mark. So I just want to, I only have one announcement. Jesse, do you have any upcoming announcements?
No, I don't.
Okay. I do have one, and I just want to let our listeners know that Oakland, California, last month had the grand opening of the LGBTQ Community Center, and they are open in full steam ahead, and doors are wide open, and they have so much going on over there that I really want to start spreading the news about them, and also to keep our listeners updated on to what's happening in this upcoming week that I know is going to be important. And I know on this Saturday, the 21st, there's an elders meeting, planning meeting going on, and that is from 1 to 3, if I'm not mistaken. And then they are having a big elders meeting where we have visitors coming in on Tuesday, the 24th. And that starts at 1 as well. But if you go to their website, which is www.oaklandlgbtqcc.org, you can pull up their calendar and all their information. So I think Regina is back. Regina, are you back with us? No, she's not. Regina? No, she's not back yet. Mandiso, I would like you to let the listeners know how they can reach you, your website.
Okay. And I do have one announcement.
Sorry?
Go ahead.
No. Give me the announcements. It's fine.
Okay. Mickey, I did want to announce that UCSF is putting on an HIV and clinical research community forum on October 30th, which is a Monday. It's a free, and they'll have breakfast training around research around HIV, 8:30 to 9 breakfast, and training 9 to 4:30, and it's at the California Endowment Oakland Conference Space, which is at 2000 Franklin Street, 2000 Franklin Street, in Oakland, 94612, and that's October 30th this month on a Monday at 10 o'clock. And so they'll be talking about research history, safety codes, informed consent, advisory groups, and they'll just spell it all out, social justice, inclusion, and economic distribution. So we're inviting everyone to come to that. And also, as you talked about the LGBT Community Center, I'll be announcing the World AIDS Day event, which is coming up December 1st this year. We're in the planning mode right now with them. So I'll be announcing that on the show as we go forward. Okay? So go ahead, Mandisa, and give your information.
So we are Googleable. So if you go to .afro social network, you'll find us. And then the current site, because we're still in beta test, understand, we're launching on the 28th of November officially. So as of the 28th of November, we'll be www.afro.com. But currently we're sitting on https://beta.afro.com. So we actually opened our beta testing to the public, which is something that companies never do, because obviously then people will be able to steal your features, etc. We said, you know what, our community gets to build what they want from their space. So we've opened our beta testing up to the community. So currently you can go to https://beta.afro.com. But when the site launches officially on the 28th of November, you'll go to www.afro.com.
That's amazing. Wow.
And I think we have Regina back with us. Regina, you back with us?
Yes, I'm back.
Wonderful.
And you're clear.
You can hear me.
We can hear you,
Regina. Yay! I switched. I don't know what it was. We have it's levels in the home, so I just came to the lower level.
Technology. Sometimes it happens.
That's
so,
right.
Regina, please, I want you, please tell our listeners how they can reach you, your website, contact info.
Yes, I can be reached. We're on the web at www.myarasolutions.com. And we're on Facebook, ARA Virtual Solutions, LLC. And we're on Instagram the handle is at ARA Virtual Solutions. Our contact number is 1-855-75-MY-ARA, which is 1-855-756-9272.
Great. To speak for a minute, and this is a question directed to both of you. Mm-hmm. We are members of Black Tech Women.
Mm-hmm.
One, what does that organization mean to you? How did you find it? And what, if any, are you receiving as far as assistance, networking? Tell people what about.
Okay, well, I'll speak first. I just found the group actually last week. Again, I've been networking with different organizations and the chamber here locally in the Atlanta area, and someone actually mentioned the group to me. I've been trying to find organizations or people that are like-minded. And so someone mentioned, okay, you can, go on, find groups and different communities, forums that you can kind of, communicate with other people and get resources and you can connect. So I was told about, I went to his class. It was a Google Fiber Academy. It was a class about advertising and marketing your business. And he actually had this person's information on their page. And so I kind of just followed. You know how you just click on something and it takes you somewhere else? And so I requested to join the group. I entered all of my information, and they approved me the very next day. And so I've been going through the feed, just getting information to see what the community is about. But, again, I know if it's technology, anything to do with technology, I know I need to be there, because with our business, we're looking to actually have our own platform to be able to not only have where our agents can access our phone systems – but also to download our software to be able to have access to our clients' portals. So I just found the group, but I'm happy to be here because I found you, Mickey, and I saw your post today. It just, you know, came through my feed, and I was like, oh, my goodness. So I, you know, contacted you, and thank you so much for reaching and responding back to me as well. So that's
thank
how I found the group. Yes.
Thank you. Mandisa.
Okay,
how
so black
women all the way in Africa.
Okay, so I'm a bit tech savvy when it comes to social networks and being able to get around. So I obviously realized through a friend of mine who's actually involved in different aspects of groupings within the tech space, and she actually recommended that particular group to me. She was like, you know what, as much as it's US based, but they do have a footprint throughout the world. And I said, okay, look, I'm not, my target market is not specific to Africa. Every single black person around the world is my target market. So I said, okay, I needed to have a reach everywhere. And I said, let me start speaking to like-minded individuals. And obviously being a black woman myself, that was the perfect space. So I went on. I'm also a new member like Regina, and I've found it actually really helpful. It's a supportive network. It's women who want to build other women. It's a platform where we can discuss our issues that we have. You know, understand as black women, our issues are not the same as everybody else. We deal with different types of biases in terms of the business world. So I like the fact that group speaks to those issues. And so, yeah, I found a supportive network. And then out of the blue, I saw your post on my news feed as well. I was like, okay, it's an opportunity. Let me speak to the Afros, potential.afros in the U.S. and say, hey, we're here.
Well, we are so glad you did.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, again, this is, I guess, a question for both of you sisters. As entrepreneurs, how do you motivate yourselves?
Can I start with this one? As an entrepreneur, my motivation literally comes from my passion for the black community, my passion for black consciousness, my passion for women, for black women specifically. As you know, I'm a feminist. And for me, I was like, the circumstances that I see black women going through throughout the world are absolutely unacceptable. Black people throughout the world, absolutely unacceptable. We have been reduced from being kings and queens of everything to being nothing. And it's completely unacceptable. It's something that I was not willing to live through one more day. And I said, I'm not going to let someone else be the driving change of this. I'm going to allow myself to be the driving change of this. So every time I see a black person living in squalor, living in poverty, not living up to their full potential because of their circumstances, that is my motivation. That is my passion. I'm like, I am going to make sure that this person gets a platform, that they get a way out of their current situation.
You just gave me goosebumps. Wow. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for what you do.
Regina, how do you motivate yourself? I know you said your husband is a big supporter.
Yes, he is. That's one of the biggest things. But I would have to say my faith in God. It's my heart's desire. It is a desire that I have. I know it's my purpose. I wake up every day knowing that I'm going to help someone. I don't care how it is that I help them. But I always tell, I believe my sister, I always say, as long as I can help someone and they say thank you.
Right.
I don't care if it's my children. I know that I've done my job for the day because that's my passion, is helping people. So, again, I just go to put one foot forward and just keep moving. And I have my husband that supports me. I have my family that encourages me. And we all work together. And I just feel like, you know, when you have a support system like I do and you have a community of people that understand where you're going, if you have a vision and everyone else can see that vision and they can move just like you move, then that's all you need. So my encouragement comes from God. It comes from my family. And I just thank them all for being so supportive of everything that I do.
And how has having the company with giving you the flexibility changed your family life? I mean, because I can see it all working together.
Yes, I noticed it years ago, but we have two daughters. They're 8 and 4. And so with both of them being in school, you know, you can attend, like today I went to a parent-teacher conference, and it was at 1:15 today. So I was able to just get up and go and not have to request time off to go take care of, you know, some things that I need to take care of. I'm able to go to the school and volunteer. I'm able to be active and present in their lives. And I mean, I love it. A lot of people say, I don't see how you, well, I'm home, but I'm not always home. I do other things. I get out and I meet people and I network and I build my business. So I'm not home just to be home and just, you know, to do nothing. I make my business evolve and I do it every day. So I have the flexibility and I'm able to provide others with the same flexibility. And I really, really enjoy what I do.
And what a demonstration you're setting for your daughters. Wow.
Yes, and they know it. You know, when I have some little praying little sisters. And so they know, and I tell them, you know, this is a legacy that we're leaving for them. You know, I want to be able to have it where they're not having to go on someone else's job and clock in and do work for someone else, you know, for years before they can retire. And then when you retire, you're not going to get anything anyway. So why not build something? Why not build something, show them how it's done, and so they can grow up and do the same thing. So we very encouraging to them. And like I said, we include them in everything as well, so they know this is their business as well.
That's beautiful. And Medisa, how about you and your family? What kind of support do you have?
In terms of support structure, strange enough, it doesn't necessarily come from my family. My son is my biggest supporter. He's 7. He's amazing. Okay. And he was like, Mommy, you are going to be the best thing since sliced bread for black people in the world. So, that's my son. The support that I've received has actually been from the community. I've been really, really supported by black women. As I said, my fellow BRS, my black radical feminists, have been with me throughout everything. They have literally been my rock and my foundation. I've also had a lot of support from the black consciousness community as well throughout Africa. They've just been there as my rock as well. So I think with us, as I said, the dynamic is slightly different. We're trying to get out of being economic slaves in our country. And so we have so many black entrepreneurs that are really trying to hustle so bad. And they're like, you know what, we're with you, my sister. And I'm like, yeah, let's do this hustle together. So I've really received quite a lot of support. For me to be in beta test, and I'm not even launched yet. I don't even have my website being on www. But in my country, I'm already ranked 44,000 out of 3.5 million. That's huge.
That is huge.
And to have over 1 million hits in less than 3 weeks, that's huge. It's clear that there's a demand for what I'm offering. And so for me, that's my motivator. That's the people behind me. It's my community literally carrying me through everything. And I'm really so proud to be the person that's pioneered this.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. Hey, one of the things that as entrepreneurs, we always have to keep learning. So I always like to ask, what books are you reading right now? What do you read for pleasure? What do you read for fun besides for learning? And that's for both, whoever would like to answer first.
Okay. Well, my Bible is my first book, but I also have a wealth book. It's by Mike Murdoch, actually. I just purchased the book, so I'm starting to read that. So it's 21 Reasons to Be Wealthy. So I've started to read that, and I kind of just go so I can sink it in. But it always, whatever he says, of course, it relates to the Bible. So for me, that's what I've been reading lately. I also have online studies that I use with different ministers and different speakers. So for me, it's mostly just that's the only way that I can stay motivated, honestly, because every day as an entrepreneur, you know, you have to stay grounded. And so for me, that's what I've been doing. But I've been, like I said, networking outside of that and been meeting a lot of different authors. And so we have been actually getting involved with the community. We have a lot of different people who have books. And you know how they have it. You can go on Amazon and you can purchase the books. I actually have one. It's called The Inside the Leader's Mind. That one is by Liz Mellon. The Great by Choice by Jim Collins. So just different books, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. So, of course, we have to make sure that as an organization, customer service, we have to keep our team in line because we're not only, you know, we're standing behind not only our brand, but our clients' brands as well. So we have to make sure that, you know, I am, you know, the leader, so I have to make sure that, you know, everybody stays in line. So I have a couple of different books, but like I said, the ones that I stay motivated with the most are those that can give me the courage to keep going. But outside of that, yes, those Inside the Leader's Mind, Great by Choice, and The Five Dysfunctions of a Team.
Hi. So with me, it's one book. I know that it sounds weird. Well, it's actually two books, but I'll give you one that you would be able to find in your local bookstore. OG Mandino, World's Greatest Salesman. I know that so many people have spoken about this book, but for me, it was a life changer. It literally got me when I was at the bottom of the barrel and I didn't have new ideas and I didn't know what to discuss. With my own self. I didn't have the internal dialogue anymore. I wasn't motivated. So OG Mandino gave me that motivation. There was a specific passage where he talks about dancing until it rains. And so he was like, there's this particular community where they believe in rain dancing. So they were always more successful than any other community. And they were like, but what makes your rain dance different? Other communities don't necessarily receive the same level of success. And they're like, it's not that they don't receive the same level of success. It's that we dance until it rains. And so for me, that was the most powerful statement to say, you know what, I will persevere until I reach my goal. It doesn't matter if it takes other people less time or more time. It doesn't matter if there's hindrances or challenges between now and then. It's I will dance until it rains. So it's a very important book. It walks you through different chapters of your journey as an entrepreneur. For me, it's worked extremely well. It gives you daily habits that you need to embrace in order to become successful. So, yeah, that's something. It's small. It's an easy read. Most people can be able to gain access to it. It's not an expensive book, but it's one of those books that will literally be a life changer for you.
Wow.
I love it. Like Waiting for Your Season.
Yeah.
That's only yours.
Yeah, most definitely.
Exactly. Hey, one last question, because I think it will really benefit our young sisters out there who may be listening. Because if it's one thing about this show that I want to try to do, and that's to reach those young sisters who you know, want to have some good role models. You know, so if let's say 30 years from now, if you were to interview yourself, what advice would you give yourself now?
Did you say, was it 10 years? Was it 10 years? He said, that was my question.
Yeah. Well, let's say, you know,
I was interviewing myself 10 years from now. What advice would I give myself?
Yeah.
Yeah, looking back.
Not listen to,
now that's
okay,
where you are.
So the advice that I'd give myself is to not listen to the naysayers, is to persevere, is to understand where my vision is going and to stick by it and to basically understand where I'm going, to let that breed my passion and to live and be about that 100%. I think that's what I would advise myself. Don't allow distractions. Don't allow naysayers to give me internal disappointment that isn't mine. Don't own it. Own my own journey. Understand going and to basically live my passion.
Awesome. Regina.
Yes, I would say definitely take it slow. Don't jump into things too quickly. You know, do your research. Don't just look at what someone else is doing, because everybody is not going to finish the race at the same time. They won't finish the same way. So I would definitely say just, you know, stay in your lane. Do what you know you're supposed to do and just keep moving forward. Don't let any setbacks detour you. Don't, you know, get discouraged, because everyone makes mistakes. Mistakes is what makes us. So we learn from those mistakes and we keep pushing. So I would definitely say just believe in yourself, whatever your passion is, whatever your purpose is. You know that, just keep going forward and drive until you get there.
Wow. Powerful statement from two powerful women.
Yes, yes. So, you know, I can't believe we're at our time, man. It just goes so fast. But one more time, please, Regina, please, let's start with you. Let the people know how to reach you. Give them all that information again one more time.
Okay. We can be found on the web at www.myarasolutions.com. We're on Facebook at ARA Virtual Solutions LLC. Instagram, our handle is ARA Virtual Solutions, and we can be reached via phone at 855-75-MY-ARA, which is 855-756-9272.
Awesome, awesome. And Mandisa, one more time, tell our good listeners how they can reach you in South Africa.
Okay, well, currently, as I said, we're in beta test phase. So you can reach us at beta.afro.com. We're available on Twitter at .afro. And then we're available on Facebook also at .afro. And then once we've launched on the 28th of November, it will be www.afro.com.
Wow, that's just awesome, awesome. Jesse, your final thoughts and words?
Well, I'm just overfilled by the power of both of you women. I want to thank you for coming on our show. You inspired me, both of you. And I want to encourage you to keep going, and I think you're both making a difference, and I'm so glad to have met you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And my sisters, I can't thank you enough. You know, I put the call out, and you two just stepped up to the plate, and you did exactly what I know you would do, and that was to educate, inform, and inspire. And you have knocked it out of the ballpark today.
Awesome. Thank you.
We really appreciate the platform.
Yes, thank you.
Well, thank you. And I want to thank everyone for tuning in again on another terrific show. and I hope you can come back next week for another great show. Now, don't forget, our shows are archived 1 hour after our live broadcast, so you will be able to always listen at your leisure. Next week, Denise Newton will be on the air at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and her guest will be Beverly Worthy Bozeman. So make sure you tune in for that. And again, I can't thank both my guests, Mandisa Canlea and Miss Regina Austin. You two
yes.
were just awesome. They taught us
amazing.
So much today. And I want to thank Arif and Your Honor. I hope you're really doing well. Denise,
yes.
Jesse, my man, thank you again. It's always a pleasure
to spend
time with you.
Yeah, you're amazing.
Thank you. And to all of our listeners, thank you.
Yes.
And please stay safe until next time. God bless.
God bless.